Jerry?
Yes, Mr. President. How are you, sir?
Fine. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir.
I would have done it earlier, but I don't... I'm not sure that I'm supposed to be messing around in y'all's intramural activities.
I understand.
Jerry, I saw in the... By way of the newspaper this morning, you hadn't been briefed adequately. I thought that you had... there's not anything we know that we don't want you to know. And you don't need to tell anybody but me. Our situation is this. We've done nothing but brief. Actually, that's one of our problems with the RUSC, with Foreign Relations and Armed Services and Foreign Affairs and Armed Services in the House. He's been at it for the last 11 days since you got back here the 4th.
Right.
Morning and afternoon and individuals and evenings and the Morrises and Hickenloopers and Riverses, etc. The appropriations, I found out, hadn't been asked, and the leadership seems to have been somewhat in doubt up there. I mean, Aaron's and, right. and them. We don't want to make an issue of it, and I don't want to start off fighting with you, because I'm not running for re-election. I'm just trying to make a good president, and I want you to help me, and I told you that, and I talked to you about the Warren Commission. That's all I'd hope we could have the relationship that I had with Eisenhower, that you could support me when you thought it was right, and would, and be proud of it, and I think it'll get you more Republican seats than anything else if you show that you're not picayunish and not fighting. But anyway, that's a matter for y'all to determine any way you want to, but we had about 13 meetings last year in 12 months with the leadership.
Right.
And I don't think there's any comparable time, even when I was... with Rayburn, when we were in majority, when we had anything like that, we had 4, 6, 7. We had about twice as many, and I conferred more with individuals like Halleck, and even on occasions about you with foreign aid when you quit me for passman. I remember that afternoon when I played with you.
Right.
But I want you to know everything. So I've talked to Bob McNamara. He says that the appropriations group hasn't asked him to come, that he's ready. He just got out his defense message yesterday. He's willing to go into everything. I talked to Rusk. He's willing to see you anytime you want to and very anxious to. He wanted the Republican Democratic National Committee to hear everything he had, because he doesn't think there's any politics in this thing, and we need anybody's judgment that we can get. We're in a hell of a shape, so we don't want anything that politically in those two departments, and if I catch them doing it, somebody's head will fly, and I want you to know as much as Carl Albert knows or as Lyndon Johnson knows. I have a standing instruction that Eisenhower knows everything I know. And it's just a question of when he'll take them. So the reason they haven't called you as the new leader
right.
is you had a problem with Aaron's, and we see where you're meeting. And as a matter of fact, I called Aaron's to congratulate him, just to say congratulations along with you, and he's at some meeting and so right. forth. Now, in addition, I think Rusk tells me he's called you twice.
Well, I've been...
And that you haven't returned either call, so you better look at yours, see if there's a breakdown in your shop. Now, I may be wrong in that.
I think he called me once.
He says he has 2 telephone calls to you for the purpose of asking when the Republican leadership would like to be briefed.
Right.
Now, our feeling is this. I'm a Vandenberg man. I sat next to him on atomic energy when I was a kid.
Right.
And he gave me a lot of good training after he changed his viewpoint, his philosophy. And I'm a Ford man. George Mahon spent the whole day a month ago trying to tell me about you. And I said, well, I had to pick out a few outstanding members of Congress the first week I was here. And I reached in and got him. He didn't solicit the Warren Commission, so you don't need to sell me on him, George. But we want you all in on the takeoff.
Well, I think...
Provided you'll get in on the takeoff. Now, usually what you do, when we outline everything and say, here are the alternatives. We can bomb hell out of Hanoi and there are 100 MiGs there. Or we can go the other direction and get out completely. Or we can do this. Now, what do you think we ought to do? Usually, Halleck looks over to me and says, well, now, Mr. President, that's your responsibility as Commander-in-Chief. I said, I know it is, Charlie. I'm prepared to exercise it. but you want to be in on the takeoffs as well as the landings, well, I goddamn sure want to give you a chance, and I want the record to show that you checked it back to me, because I'm an old poker player. And so Rusk will be talking to you. McNamara will be talking to you. They're not going to try the military operations. And I noticed some little of the Baltimore Sun said some question about supply line or something. I don't think that we ought to have a Civil War committee running their military operations, because I don't even try to do that. And I was very shocked that the Belgians gave out a statement about our paratroopers landing before they landed. I mean, in our planes when they went into Congo. But we'll tell you everything other than let them run the Joint Chiefs of Staff's business. And I want you to know as much as the President knows, and I want you to have that assurance and that confidence, and I want you to have that participation, because when I get run out of Vietnam, or when I get in a war with China, or if I got another stalemate for a year, they're going to be Republican boys shot just like Democrats, and they don't know the difference. They're all patriots, and so I want everybody's decision can get, and I'm perfectly willing and anxious to admit, just like I know you would be if you wound up here in the morning by fate like I did, to know that I don't know all the answers.
Well, Mr. President, let me say this without any hesitation or qualification. And I only pick this out as a point. Your statement in the State of the Union message on our commitment to South Vietnam, I wholeheartedly and unequivocally stand by. And you can have my assurance in this regard now and in the future. And but I do think that it's important that I and others on our side be kept up to date as well as we can. Now, that doesn't mean Bob McNamara has to be over here once a week telling us what's going on. But as you know, I've had an excellent rapport with Bob McNamara. I think
he thinks very highly of you, and he told me this morning that he'd be right there, that the only reason that he hasn't talked to the leadership himself is you haven't had any leadership. You've been squirreling about Birch and about Aarons and about Frelinghuysen and all these other things, and we've just been sitting by trying to endure these struggles until you all get through. Now you're through. I'll have a meeting in the next very, very few days, and I want to always feel free to talk to you off the record and very frankly, but one of the first things I suggested was when we had the House meeting in, I said, let's have the Republicans. Well, who are you going to invite? Halleck, Ford.
Right.
Who are you going to invite? Frelinghuysen or Aarons?
Right.
Who are you going to invite? Laird or Burns or who? Now, we didn't know about even Long, so I held the Senate back a week. Now, I met with the House Democratic leaders,
right,
and you'll find more records of more leadership meetings this year and last year than you have seen in your time, because we want them, and we want to speak out and say what they would do and what they recommend after they hear the facts that we do, and then I'll take the responsibility finally and make the decision. But I'm like Vandenberg. I want in on the takeoffs as well as the landings. Now, Eisenhower did that with me, and I followed exactly the policy that you've announced you're going to follow. I said to him, Mr. President, when I can't agree with you, I'll come tell you. I'll disagree with you with dignity and decency, and I won't talk about your dog or your boy, but I'll try to offer an alternative, and then I'll try to bloody your nose.
Well, this is the way we hope to proceed,
and
I would hope that we can, from now in the future, have as good a relationship as we've had in the past.
Well, we can, and I'm going to insist on it as far as I'm concerned. And I never had a quarrelsome word with Eisenhower for 6 years. Now, a good many times we differed.
Sure.
And sometimes we defeated, but I remember Bill Nolan walking on the back row and speaking against him when I spoke for him, and we won by one vote. And I think it when you it's your duty. I don't believe in task philosophy. It's the duty of the opposition to oppose. I think it's the duty of the opposition to analyze and do what's best for their country. And if they don't agree, then give an alternative. And I'll tell you what it did. It gave me the Senate in 2 years, and I kept it for six more because the people said, well, this guy's going to be fair to both sides, and well, he's a Democrat. He's not a mean, vicious, blind one, and they gave me a majority, and I kept it, and poor Eisenhower had to work with the Democratic Congress for 6 years, and I attribute more of it to the fact that I cooperated with him on things I could cooperate, and on others I didn't get personal and talk about Fowler or his dog or his boy or being down here as an aide or little old things that don't amount to anything.
Well, you can be assured, Mr. President, that what I've said about supporting you to the hilt when we in our judgment think you're right, and I think there will be many occasions where that will be true, and when we oppose, it'll be on the issue and not on the person.
I know that. You pick up this phone. The point of this meeting is twofold. One, I want to tell you why you hadn't been called.
Right.
And I think you understand it.
Right.
Two, I want to tell you Armed Services and Foreign Affairs both have spent the last 10 days going over this.
Right.
In both houses. Appropriations hadn't made their request yet, but we're ready for appropriation. Three, the leadership hadn't been selected. It will be, we will go into them thoroughly. Fourth, pick up this phone anytime you want to, just with the freedom that you'd call your office.
Right.
And tell me frankly what you think, and I'll do likewise, and that's the only way people can get along.
That'll be fine, Mr. President.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you very much, sir.